Jesus, we want to give you all that we are, all that we have today, Lord. Father, we thank you that the example of Jesus is the highest example to us. And God, I thank you that Jesus went ahead of us in the waters of baptism and the Holy Spirit came down, that God smiled on him. And today, in the same way, we invite your Holy Spirit, Lord, to rest on all of us, to rest on those being baptized. Father, I thank you that you are well pleased. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Oh, and I'm just going to welcome Pastor Andrew. I'm really sorry, without a running order, I'm just not really, but I'm going to welcome the pastor now.
Wow. Beautiful worship. Give the creative team a huge round of applause. Take a seat. How you doing? So I'm going to speak for a bit, and then we're going to get into some baptisms. It's always very exciting to do water baptisms, isn't it? Don't you think? Who's excited? It's an amazing. Who can remember when they were baptized? Raise your hand. Yeah, many years ago, many moons ago. Well, this morning I'm going to talk on a subject. I'm going to put it up on the screen behind me. See how you go. Ho! Oh. Looking forward to this message, aren't you? Sound good? Turn to the person next to you and go, guilty. You got to say it like a judge. Who's seen Judge Judy? Yeah, she rocks, right? Judge Judy. Did everyone say guilty? I'm going to deal with the subject of guilty. Is that all right? Because I tell you what, in the time that I've been a pastor or a Christian myself, this area, I actually think affects a lot of Christians. Guilt. Just the word sounds horrible, doesn't it? Kind of messes with your mind. So I think too many Christians in our day and age live out of fear and not love. And I would say one of the greatest motivations for you to live out of fear is the word behind me. Guilty. It's an area that I think messes with a lot of our heads and hearts and how we deal with how we progress in God. If you're a sinner in this place, raise your hand. Thought so. I knew there was a couple of perfect people, but maybe they weren't here today. They got raptured before the service. But the reality is we're all in here. So what does the Bible teach us about guilty? Is there a difference between guilt and the feelings of guilt? You know, we live in a world that helps foster and support feelings of guilt. True? We live in a world that has a system that really, actually, we live in a land that has laws that judge you whether you are guilty or not. So I'm going to talk about the two aspects. When we talk about the subject guilty, we can't talk about it without dealing with these two aspects of it. And I think these two aspects actually mess with our minds a little bit, because what we do is we transfer one aspect into another aspect and we get them mixed up and we get them mixed together and we get feelings that quite often for us as believers that we have, and we get confused whether these feelings are from God or whether these feelings aren't from God. Is that all right? Are you with me still? Say amen. So there's two main things. The first category in the Bible is legal guilt or civil guilt. Everyone say civil guilt. And it's actually something that's mentioned in the Bible, and it's something that as I begin to describe it, you'll understand what it is. Who's ever run a red light? Come on. whether it's on purpose or accident. What about where you got queued in a bunch of traffic and you went across the line and the cars in front of you stopped and you got stuck out in the middle and it turned right, turned red? Is okay, so you didn't drive straight through a red light, but I got to admit I've done that once or twice by mistake. But I've been caught out in the middle of the road where everyone's beeping at you and the lights have gone red and you're in the way and everyone's looking angry because they can't get around you. Is that just me? Is there anyone else? Come on, raise your hand if you've done it once. Honey? Just checking. So, when you do that, you're actually in civil guilt. Is that okay? If you do think like cheat on your taxes, whether you knew it or not, these days in our tax system, there's tax avoidance. True? And then there's things where you think you are right, but you're actually wrong, and you can get a penalty for it. There's so many things that we have in our society, this criminal law, you are guilty of if you do them. And if you're convicted, you pay a fine or you pay a price for your crime. We understand that it's the way our world works. And don't for a moment think that if we didn't have this system, our world would be chaos. And if you've ever been to some country overseas where they don't respect the driving laws, it's chaos, true? Have you ever been to a place? Like, I haven't driven in a place, but I've been to places like Bangkok where it seems like no one is actually obeying anything. There's like no lanes on the road. Well, there is. No one's actually bothering to check them. And people are just ducking and weaving and turning which way they want. I find those sort of areas very stressful because you just don't know what's going to happen to yourself. True? So we're in a system that actually has its way of keeping us under control. And there's always going to be a sense of guilt when you feel yourself, when you come up to this civil law, when you're confronted with a civil law, you'll get a feeling or a sense of guilt. Let me just explain another one. You're flying down the freeway, and whether you're speeding or not, you see a highway patrol stationed. What's the first thing you do? You slam on the brakes, right? And you can, if you're on the freeway, you just see all the red lights, ding, 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 and they get to you. Ooh. Whether you're driving, you could be cruise controlled at 110 or not, but if for some reason you slam on the brake because you see an authority figure and instantly you get a feeling of guilt and you slam on the brake. Is that just me? Maybe you're doing 115.5. Which I've noticed, when you've got a GPS, right, your GPS actually calculates the true speed you're doing versus your car, because your car actually rounds it up. But anyway, I'm not going to give you that loophole. That's why there is a loophole there when you get, there's a like 5 kilometer loophole. But I'm not living that way, right? You didn't hear it from me. Someone else told me that. It wasn't me. In Romans chapter 13, verse 5, this is what the Word of God says about civil guilt. Romans chapter 13, verse 5, it admonishes us, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. So the Word of God actually tells us as believers that we need to submit ourselves to the civil authorities of our time and our land, and that we are to live within those guidelines. But I would dare say that a lot of us in society, we're only affected by these civil laws with the fear of being caught. True? The reality is, most of us, as you get older, now I've got to a point in my driving, and I'm being repentant here, where I drive within the speed limit 99% of the time that I can consciously think of, because it's just not worth it. True? But this is the repentance of a 21-year-old, 22-year-old driver, thus P plates and everything else that's out there. I kind of felt, you know, I had to see how this car run. And I paid the penalty for it. And repentance of a pastor, I lost my license for 3 months. for red light cameras on the way to see my fiance, thus now my wife. So it was worth it, right? 3 months. And I learnt my lesson. And I got to tell you, the last time I went to get my license, they said, excuse me, Mr. Harper, you haven't had a fine in 5 years. We're going to give you a gold license and we're going to discount your license. I felt like bells and whistles and balloons came down from the sky. They celebrated in the RMS because I had a gold license. I've learnt. But reality is that at this day and age, I think a lot of people live with the understanding of civil law that if we get caught, it's going to be bad. But if you can kind of get away with it, you can get away with it. The Apostle Paul asks us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, and he says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for the unholy, for the and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers or liars or perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. We live in a world where there's a civil law system simply because if, and God backs it, simply because if it wasn't, chaos would reign. God knows humankind outside of God that there is not a restraint, so that there has to be a natural law to bring about restraint in human society, because man, and when I mean man and woman, humankind is bent towards sin with their normal nature. Is that okay? So God actually backs up in Romans 13, verse 1, that every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinances of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. So the word of God, we live in a pretty good country, true? We live under a pretty good system. It's not perfect, but it's good. And the reality is we live under a pretty fair system within reason. I'm sure if I open that subject up today, there'd be a lot of arguments about some rules and regulations and things that are out there. But the reality is that these laws of the land are there for the ones doing wrong, not for those that are trying to do right. And it keeps people within a structure and a place. And the Bible actually says that we are to live that way. It says that we are to be law-abiding citizens. But there's a spirit to the law for us as believers. That's a civil law, right? And God says to stick for it. But there's a spirit law that's over our lives. And I'll explain that a little bit more. But we've got to be mindful. Let me just throw a conundrum at you. Let me just throw a question. If you had a daughter, which I have a few of, or a son, and they're desperately ill, and you can't get an ambulance, and so you throw them in the car, not literally throw them, and you exceed the speed limit on the way to an accident and emergency. I actually think I've done that. Well, you've done it with me, yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember I had a kidney stone, but I didn't know what it was, but I was crawling off the roof of the car and she was driving very quickly and I said, speed! Yelling out at Marianne. But we've done it with a child, I'm sure we have, a few times. I just want to tell you, I was standing next to Sam Plant. There are some rules and regulations for life. We're about here. And he pulled up next to me, and he said, hey, Pastor Andrew. And I said, oh, hey, Sam. And I looked at him, and I said, what are you doing? And he was pointing himself at a table around about where the baptism was, filled with paper cups in a triangle. quite high. And he looked at it, and I said, no. And it was the last thing I said to him, and he sprinted off, dived through the paper cups, promptly broke his ankle. Is that correct? Just want to let you know, I did say no. I said, no. And he went, boom. Anyway, where was I? There are some. So, yeah, he's a beautiful person. You're young, you do silly things. True? So if you're in this conundrum where you're trying to get, you know, the spirit of the law that God has on your life would be that I would speed to get my daughter to the hospital on time. Why? Because God's law is actually over my heart, tell me that human life is more important than a speed sign right now. That is making sure that I don't put anyone else in danger. Are you hearing with me? There's a spirit of law. I'm going to talk about what God talks about when it comes to guilt in our own lives with him, because I tell you what, it's something in our lives that I think we need to be careful of. And that's where I think in Romans 13, if I was a part of a regime whose law of the land was that I went out and killed people, I think somewhere in that point, I would put my hand up and go, I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not going to go massacre Christians. And, you know, if I was in some country, let's just pick a country, maybe North Korea. And I was told to actually kill believers or something. I think somewhere in there, the word of God actually overrides that civil law. Are you with me? Are you with me? So there's some areas in there where you've got to, being a Christian is actually more important than actually just obeying the law of the land. Now, thankfully, we don't live in a country that's like that. Amen? So I believe that we need to be someone that understands that. Now, I want to jump into, in the last moments of God, before we baptize some people today, I want to talk about the real point. The second type of guilt is theological guilt. Everyone say theological guilt. Guilt before God. This is where I think I've seen Christians go wrong. Because we live in a system, like I said, where it's governed by these parameters, and we live under this world system where feeling guilty is actually something. I mean, you can feel guilty about what you eat. True? And you can feel guilty about, you know, whether or not you exercise or whether or not you do this. And people can throw you into a guilt trip over anything and everything in this day and age. You can watch an ad on TV and you can think, you know, this, that, I should be this. And you could buy the Ab Crush Pro and there's some person there that's just ripped and you think, oh, I should be looking like that. I could tell you that machine never produced that. And it shows you some person who's sort of like this, the next minute with the Ab Crush Pro, only 3 times a day. Or if you stand on this machine while you're watching TV, after 6 months or 3 weeks of watching your favorite TV show, My Kitchen Rules, and eating cheese and onion chips and Coke, you will be like this. Cheese and onion chips was my weakness. I just thought I'd throw it in there. So this is what I want to talk about. Theological guilt. It's a violation of God's law. It's a violation. Another step down. It's a violation of God's character. Are you hearing me? God's character is an expression of who he is. When the Ten Commandments framed, it framed God's character. Are you with me? That's what they are. A harsh and harming word spoken in anger is sin because God is patient and kind. Are you with me? Sexual intercourse outside of marriage is sin. It's not a matter of whether or not the couple love each other and they have spent years together with each other and it feels right and you're connected with each other. The reality is, when it comes up against God's law, it's wrong. It's not part of God's character and nature and who he is. Are you with me? No matter how much you feel, when we sin, we're guilty of breaking God's law. Simple as that. Whether we emotionally have equated it in our heads and whether we've come up with some argument, it's a technicality. The reality is that's who God is. God is the embodiment of those Ten Commandments. That is his parameters of who he is. And when we throw ourselves against that, we actually fall short of that because that is who God is. That is framing, that is the laws that bring the parameters of who God is. But that's not the end of the story. Because our God is holy and righteous. And that's what holiness is. When you read the Ten Commandments, that's what it is. That embodies that. So how do we justify ourselves? If we're believers in this place, how do we justify our guilt? Let me just run through a couple of things that I think that we do as believers. I'm inside, okay, or an outside of God. The first one is found in Luke 18, verse 9. And it's a great parable that Jesus took. And he said, and he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as tax collectors. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me as a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to this house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. We had a religious person that Jesus is talking about who realistically was outside of God. And all his actions, religious actions, he was using it as a justification. And there are plenty of people in this world who actually just feel like they justify the guilt on their lives because they are either religious or they're educated or they're someone that's come from a good place. Are you with me? That's number one justification. The second one is justification by religious title. And I love what Paul, or what he called himself, he was Saul before he was Paul of Tarsus, before he became Paul, was his best example. And he recalls his way that he lived. He lived outside of God, and he lived under this system that if you lived as this incredible, if you built up titles that you could justify any guilt, if the world looked at you and said you were amazing and that you were incredible, that they would leave you alone. And he says this, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4-5, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the 8th day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the churches, as to the righteous, which is the law, found blameless. That was all before. That was the way he lived his life before he met Christ. Are you with me? In reality, some of those attitudes even sneak into us as we're Christians. We think that, wow, if we just perform in this way, we do this, that, you know, it doesn't matter that we're no longer feeling the guilt of our sin. We can just be incredibly good people. I could say, think for me as a pastor who preaches every week that I'm just all good because of what I do. This is saying that doesn't work. So how do we justify our guilt? I'm landing it. How do we justify guilt? Here's the answer for guilt. And I tell you what, it's the only answer for theological guilt or God's guilt that he puts on us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1-2. I'm going to read it in the Message, and then I'll read it. I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a priest friend in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, righteous Jesus. When he served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the sin problem for good, not only ours, but the world's. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, New King James. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the provision for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the world. Can I just say something? The reality is, for everyone that's a believer in this place, if you know and you love Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have any feelings of guilt about your sin before God, you're in the wrong. It's gone quiet in here, isn't it? Gone very quiet. When you open the door to guilt, you actually open the door to something contrary to the nature of God. Because when you accept Christ, you step over a line, you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. He paid the price, as we just read. He has taken the judgment of guilt off your life. And there is no sin that can stand outside of Jesus and go, hey, I'm outside of here. You should feel guilty about me right now before God. You should feel this guilt. Are you with me? Come on. Some of you are looking back at me like, if your life as a believer is going from one guilt situation to the next because you stuff up and you sin, you're actually in a trap that the enemy wants you to be in. And you're not in the freedom that Christ wants you to be in. Are you with me? Come on. Come on, some of you are going real quiet. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. I can tell you something. You will not have peace with God if you were guilty. If you were sitting here today, you might have sinned last night, and you're sitting here today, and you were sinned, I could tell you right now, you would not have peace with God if there was a sin that was marked against your name. Why? Because God is holy and righteous, and no sin dwells within him, which means something had to have changed in your life. And that was Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Come on. If you're sitting here thinking, I shouldn't be here today. Man, I really blew it again. Stupid. Really, man, I had a chronic argument on the way to work. And I did this, I did that. If you're sitting here and that guilt is just all over you, I can tell you that that is not from God. You have peace before God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. Every one of you in this place, no matter what's happened in your life right now, there is not guilt on you. You stand before God because of the grace of Jesus Christ that is over your life. It's incredible news. Amen? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. I'm going to close up with this. The guys, the team can come up. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen? Which means there is no guilt if you've been set free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. Listen to this. He condemned sin. Not you. Are you hearing me? When we baptize today, the sin, this is a representation of you coming out of a you go down as the old flesh and you come out afresh and new, which means your sin stays and you come out as a new creation. That's why it's such a powerful identification of what God does. Are you with me? Which means your sin gets condemned. That's what God's condemning. His hatred is not with you. His hatred is with the sin. Are you with me? And because you accept Jesus, God can never hate you. Because all he sees is Jesus in you. If you think God hates you and God thinks you're guilty and you need judgment, then you are denying what Jesus has done in your life. Are you with me? You have to actually say, well, Jesus, you weren't good enough because my sin last night is bigger and greater and more powerful than you are, Jesus. And the fact that you gave your life and you shed your blood and you were the Son of God, and therefore my sin is so much more powerful. That thing I watched on TV or that place I went to last night I shouldn't have been at. Are you with me? Don't you dare make your sin more powerful than Jesus. I mean that. You are not, if you're a believer in this place, you're not guilty. Jesus took your guilt. Are you with me? So if you're feeling those feelings, stop. I'm going to tell you next week what you can feel. Is that all right? I'm going to continue this. Because the Bible says we are not to feel guilty, but we are to feel some things, and I'm going to explain what we can feel, but they're not guilt. And I want to identify guilt. So I've taken some time to identify it because it goes against us. Guilt it breeds condemnation. It breeds condemnation, breeds separation from God. Wants you to be away from God, separated. Wants you to think that God thinks you're guilty and filthy and disgusting and you shouldn't be here. When it's the absolute, complete and utter opposite. Loves you. And all he sees is the grace and the mercy flooding over your life. It's like the Christian emancipation proclamation. Slavery to sin has been abolished by Jesus. I got a new slide for you. Oh, it's already there. I was waiting for the moment. Thanks. Not guilty. When you're truly free and forgiven, you're free to not feel guilty. God knows you stuff up. Come on. God knows you make mistakes. But he doesn't want you racked with guilt. He wants you drawn into his presence so that he, with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, can defeat the effects of sin in your life. The effects of sin, not sin. It was defeated. Are you hearing me? So this is what today is. I remember when I got baptized. For some of you, this is a declaration that the enemy and condemnation has no place over your life. It's enough. It's enough. When you come out of this water, you're an incredible woman of God with incredible gifts. Enemies tried to rip you off when you are now actually in a new season and you're opening doors to your life and there's opportunity, there's such treasure in you. God wants everyone to see. Incredible treasure. You're a daughter of the King, and he loves you so much. And the enemy he's had his time. I believe there's going to be something fresh over you when you come out of this water. Awesome. You've known you wanted to do this for a while. Stuff is going to drop off. We need to get the guys ready. Let's jump in. the baptizers, can we grab you? Come and tell me, Rach, where we're up to, which person? Matthew 28:19, go, yea, therefore teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's what Jesus told us to do. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, listen to this just for a moment. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Are you with me? I'm just going to believe for just the anointing of God to be over. This is a symbolization of decisions that you've made in your heart. But for some of you, I think that there's going to be just an anointing and a power that comes on you when you take this step. These are our two baptizers. Do you guys want to jump on in? Oh, wow, 36 degrees. Fantastic. By faith. It's just probably minus 30, that's all. It's maybe 6 degrees. Come on, Wendy, come forward. Wendy Thompson, we've known Wendy for many years. And she's an incredible, faithful, beautiful-hearted woman of God. And I know she's been planning and organizing to be baptized. And when's the next baptism? So, come on, Wendy, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to get Jerry to do that now.
Wendy, by your own confession in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful. God, we just pray for anointing. Let the seal upon, just settle on her, God. God, every dream, God, let the desires of her heart, God, let it just feel and sense the freedom of you, God, to be all that she's called to be. In Jesus' name. Beautiful. Harry, where is he? Just come a bit forward so we can, right, that's it, so we don't. What a good man Harry is. We've known Harry for a long time. He's a faithful man. You really are, Harry. And you know there's a battle going on in our life, but I'm just going to believe God for the tide to change, for it to turn around. I just really sense that out of this, we're going to believe for things to start moving forward for you. Amen? We're going to declare it over your life. Come on, let's baptize him right now.
Harry, love you, bro.
Thanks, bro.
By admission of your faith in Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Spirit of God. Spirit of God. God, we just believe it. We believe it, God. We believe, Father God. Release it, God. Release this new season of his life. In Jesus' name. Oh, come on. This is Gabel. Everyone say Gabel. Or Gabo. Beautiful man of God. How long have you been a Christian, Gabo?
This is my first year.
1 year. That's God. Awesome. You ready? We're just going to baptize you right now. God, but we're just going to believe for God to really touch you.
God, by your admission of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Spirit of God. God, we thank you for him. God, we thank you for the decision that he's made. God, we pray that he would go from strength to strength, God. That, God, that even today, God, there would be a new resilience in him for you, Father God, a conviction that comes into his spirit just to live wholeheartedly for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Daniel. Come on, Daniel. How long have you been a Christian, Daniel?
I don't know.
For a while? Fantastic. So we're going to baptize you now, mate. We're going to believe for God to really touch you.
Daniel, by the confession of your faith, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Spirit of God. God, we just pray. Thank you for him, Father God. We just thank you for you. The work that you're doing. God, I thank you for the joy that is expressed in him through your life in him, God. God, we just pray he'd go from strength to strength. Just anoint him, God, for this next season, Father God, in Jesus' name. We counter with your presence. Spirit of God. Amen. Beautiful. Well, we're baptizing a family today, so we're going to start with Dad. Come on, Sonny. Very exciting. Almost as exciting as the swimming shorts. Beautiful. Come right forward, guys. Come right up here. That's better. How long have you been a believer, Sonny?
A long time now. Since a few months after the church was started, we came to this church and never looked back.
Beautiful, mate. You're lovely. Come on, we're going to baptize you.
Sonny, by the confession of your belief in Jesus Christ, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yes.
Beautiful. Spirit of God. God, we just pray that there would just be a sealing of this decision, Father God, right over every aspect of his life. That God, he would just know, God, that he is owned by you in Jesus' name. Amen. He was worried about his hair, he said. Come on, Kim. Baptism needs to have a little bit of pain, right? Cold water. No, just kidding. How long have you been a believer?
All my life.
Beautiful. We're just going to pray and baptize you right now.
Okay. By the confession of your faith in Jesus, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Jesus. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. God, we just pray, Father God. God, we just pray for your healing over her life. God, we just confess and declare your healing power, God, right over her life, Father God. That God, that you are the authority in her life. Your word that says, by your stripes we were healed, has authority, God, over every area of her life in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name. And now the daughter, Anisha. How cool is this? I love it. Honey, we should just get baptized again. All of us. I love it. Do you love Jesus, Anisha?
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful. And we're going to baptize you.
By the confession of your faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless.
Beautiful. And God, we just thank you. God, I just pray that she'd go from strength to strength, God. That God, she would just sense, Father God, your stamp and your authority upon her life, within her life, God. And she would know, God, that there's no shadow of doubt that she is owned by you in the name of Jesus. Beautiful. All right, we're gonna get Madeline to jump in the tank. One of you guys are gonna have to stay. The Bradley, known affectionate as the Bradley. Oh. Brad, do you love Jesus?
I love Jesus.
Beautiful, I know you do, mate. Can I get you, do you want to?
Bradley, by the confession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful. Spirit of God. God, we just thank you. No guilt, no shame, God. We thank you for your grace that sits and abides over his life, God. In the name of Jesus, God, take him from strength to strength in you. We thank you for the journey, for the way that he has progressed in you and grown in you, God, and we just know this is just the beginning of all that you've got for him. Mighty name. Amen. Sam. This is the big man, Samuel Richardson. Give him a hand. Also known as Little Sam. This guy is a character. I tell you, he belongs on the TV in some comedy show. Do you love Jesus?
Yep.
He does. We're going to baptize you. Come on, Sam.
Samuel, by the confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Spirit of God. God, mark him, God. Own him, Father God. God, own his life. God, as he gives you his youth, Father God, I pray that you would develop him into an incredible man of God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Joshua Pollock, was he? Whoa. Josh, do you love God?
Yes.
We're going to baptize you. Come on, Maddie.
Joshua, by the confession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Spirit of God. God, we just thank you. God, I thank you for the devotion that's in his heart and the willingness to be used by you. God, I pray that even today, God, that would just be, it'd be a landmark in his life for you, Father God. Just knowing that, God, that you're in control and you own his life and you own his future. And you've got a purpose for this young man in Jesus' name. God, we pray that that purpose be released to him and that he would chase it with all zeal and passion in Jesus' name. Amen. Luara, come on in. Luara is the last today. So you're the lucky last. You get a huge cheer at the end. I know this girl, she's been in and around our house and life, and she's just full of life, this one. Do you love Jesus? She does. Look at a big smile. I love that. We're going to baptize you.
Luara, by the confession of your faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Spirit of God. God, we just pray. We thank you for this young woman, God. We thank you for the zeal. And God, I pray that the joy that's in her, God, would become contagious, God. But God, I just pray in every aspect of her life, emotionally and physically, God, that she would just know that she is owned by you, that, God, your kingdom is upon her life, that your stamp is upon her heart, God, that there is no condemnation, that she is a child of God, and that she is a daughter of the King in Jesus' name, Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Beautiful. Wow. Don't you love baptisms? You know, the last thing I want to do in this service is just something that we do. And I just need all of us to be as quiet as we can for a moment. Can we do that? Just not, no walking around, just for a moment. Or talking. I shared a message today about guilt. And the reality is, the only time that a human being comes under that guilt from, that weight of guilt from God is when they haven't accepted what God has given us as the answer, and that's the Jesus Christ. Amen? And let me just say, if you've consciously never prayed a prayer to accept Christ, if you have any doubt in your mind about whether or not you're owned by Jesus Christ, that you are, he is your personal Lord and Savior, the reality is the Bible is incredibly clear that the judgment of God is on your life. No matter how people want to disguise it or say, no, it's not, it can't be. The reality is, if you're not a believer, if you've not accepted God's lamb, which was Jesus, God's sacrifice, which was Jesus, then you are living under that penalty and that weight. And that's what the Word of God says. That's what the message of the gospel is. You don't have to. You need to experience and open your life up and accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And we exist as a church for that. I did it when I was 21, and then I think 6 months later, or I myself was baptized, and I remember that day. I remember crying afterwards and sensing and identifying with what I had, the decision that I had made over my life, and how powerful it was. And I want to give you an opportunity today, as we do every service we can. I want to give you an opportunity to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I want every eye closed, maybe just for a moment. No one walking around, just for a moment. Just where you are, every eye closed. I want privacy in this place, because this is the most powerful and the most personal decision every human being has to make before God. And there's no justification. It's not your friends next to you, or this is what my family did, this is what they said. No, one day you'll give account for the decision that you've made for your life. That's why I ask you just to think for a moment, to almost be selfish and just think for yourself for this moment. If you've got any doubt whether or not you're a believer, whether you're a Christian, whether you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, then what I want you to do is pray this prayer that I'm going to pray in a moment. And all our church are going to pray it together. We love to do that. We're going to join with you. Whether we've done this before or not, we're going to join with you. But if you're praying this for the first time, I pray you say it with conviction. And then we allow God's presence to come into your life. Come on, let's do it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me. I repent of my sin and my wrongdoing. And I accept today your grace and your mercy that flows over my life. I accept today that I'm a child of God, which means you, Christ, in me. And I accept today, as your Bible says, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that eternity is placed in my heart. Come into my heart, Jesus. Be my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eye closed, just a moment longer. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or as a rededication, and you felt it from your heart, raise your hand. Come on. Look out to embarrass you. Great. Two hands down here. Hand down here. Come on. If you prayed that as first time as a real prayer from your heart, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to get someone to have a chat with you after service. We want to know who those people are. Come on, raise your hand if that's you. If you prayed that prayer, if you've never prayed it before and you pray with conviction in your heart. Great. Two. Beautiful. Great kids down here. Awesome. Okay, everyone look this way. We might get some, have some chat with some kids down here after the service. You kids that raise your hand, you want to stay down here when we're finished? We're going to get someone to have a quick chat with you. It's awesome. Beautiful. Hey, thank you very much. We've gone a little bit over water baptism, but we really appreciated you being here today. And pray you come back next week. I'm going to continue next week. And also, next Sunday night, we have our Lifestyle of Freedom. It starts at 6 p.m. It's an exciting new way that we want to help people grow and develop in God. And if you're serious about seeing growth in your life, or you just want to see the freedom of Christ come into your life, come along Sunday night, 6 p.m. God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. If you're new or visiting with us, we'd love to meet you out in our cafe there for a cafe latte or cappuccino. God bless your church.